Well, hey there. And it's Boxing Day. Yes, it is, believe it or not. The day after Christmas, the traditional Boxing Day in England.
We have no idea what that means.
I actually asked somebody, and I said,
from England?
Yeah.
And they didn't know what it means.
And I said, what's the salutation for Boxing Day? I mean, like, happy Boxing Day, or...
Put up your dukes.
Merry Boxing Day. And it was like, there is no salutation for it. We don't even mention it.
They don't even know what it is.
Yeah, they just go around and go, Boxing Day, okay. But I guess they don't greet each other for it. But I'm going to wish y'all one more last Merry Christmas. It was a great Christmas around here. We had a ball. I mean, this Christmas season was just, I mean, literally, this store is pretty good to work in anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to tell you, this year, fun on a different level.
And so much food brought in.
Oh, it was amazing. People took such nice care of us over the holiday. We're all running and doing our stuff. And
cookies, candy, fish dip, chicken, pizza.
Barbecue ribs. We got chicken. We got a big sandwich plate one day. We had a few pizzas. We had Luigi's. We had a couple other ones. We had people bringing us in stuff. Literally the best. I mean, it's always great when you get together with your family and all that, and you have the nice party and all that. And we had a great Christmas party with a lot of friends and everything a little while ago. But I got to tell you, this last week and a half, 2 weeks in here has been the most fun. Unbelievable. But anyway, Christmas was nice for me. I went to Christmas Eve, worked all day, had a lot of fun in the store. Nice and busy. And it's so fun with everybody laughing and, you know, cutting up and having a good time. And then went to my my wife's sister's house. And we had Christmas Eve and dinner over there. And then last night, Christmas, worked in here all day. Nice slow day. I mean, it wasn't real busy for Christmas. And I'm telling you, I was ready not to be slammed. We had a couple hours where we were pretty pushed. But the rest of the day was nice and comfortable. A couple people volunteered to work. We had a real nice time. You stayed with your family.
Yep.
Went to my mom and dad's last night and had a nice family dinner with my mom and dad. Gave me my great-grandfather's pocket watch.
Wow.
She said, he always said that when you get old enough and you're stable enough to have it where you would appreciate it, then mom was supposed to give it to me. I guess once I'm 56, I was old enough to...
you're trustworthy enough now?
I'm trustworthy enough now. So, and guess what? I've grown up. Yes, yeah. I'm a real adult now.
Wow.
My mom proved it last night. She gave me my great-grandfather's pocket watch.
Yeah, we had a pretty busy Christmas Eve. We went up to mom and dad's for dinner. Uncle Dave came down. Uncle Jack was supposed to show up, but he just got down here and he got sick, which happens every year when he comes down. He gets sick from coming down from up north.
Yeah, it's really, people don't really think about it, but think how often you travel. You leave here, you go 1,500 miles away, and somewhere along the line at a gas station, at you're walking by somebody at the gas station, and then next thing you know, you're sicker than a dog by the time you get up there.
So, yeah, we had Christmas morning at our house, and then we had to run up to mom and dad's and for Christmas number two.
How were the girls?
Girls made out like bandits, as usual.
Yeah. Now, what about the little
one? So did Barb, for that matter.
Yeah, but, like, she's put in the year from, I don't know how to say it, the year from hell, learning this job.
Yeah.
Barb does all our inventory, all our stuff, and there's a radio clip you can listen to Barb on here, and, but this girl pushes herself so hard, and then you guys had your wedding, you guys
and
got
the
married.
Wedding, and then we moved.
And then you moved. And what a tough year.
Yeah.
What a tough year.
She held in there.
My year started out horrible. I mean, I was in the throes of everything bad, IRS audits, yes. And I mean, everything's stressed and all that. And by the end of the year, it's all over. They owe me money. I don't owe them money anymore. And
well, I do have to say, for as bad as the year was for us, it is the first year in a long time that I haven't been looking forward to it being over.
I got to tell you, this year ended up great. I mean, we've been BSing about all kinds of stuff. We should be talking about fishing, but you did great, Caitlin. She had a good Christmas.
She had a great Christmas.
That's his youngest daughter.
Youngest daughter. All kinds of stuff. these Monster High dolls and Minecraft stuff. And it's, you really start to understand just how old you're getting.
When you don't understand
when
the
you
toys.
Don't understand what they're getting for Christmas. You know, I kind of got hints to it just from the music my daughter listens to.
Mm-hmm.
But you always judge how old you are by
where your music
this generation's
is?
Music.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny part is my daughter listens to the music that I listen to.
Right.
And what I considered classics, those which was the music you listened to.
Well, I actually was a generation or two in front of you.
Yeah. So, but it just goes to show that it's not me getting old. It's today's music sucks.
Yeah. Well, there's some good stuff. I like some of the stuff today. But, you know, I'm definitely more, you know, Dean Martin, Buddy Holly, you know, I'm big Dean and a Belmont's guy.
Yeah.
Can't help it with that one, you know. But, you know, how else would I work as Zara Spook if I couldn't? If you don't know Dean and a Belmont, you can't work as Zara Spook. Okay, so speaking of Zara Spooks, topwater fishing right now. Today is a great day to do topwater fishing. You got that nice overcast. Oh, wait a minute. Mention your other daughter.
Oh, Madison.
Yeah, sorry. We talked about Caitlin. Madison, we got to talk about Madison.
She's in that weird stage where...
Teenager.
Yeah, but the stuff that she wants, she wanted a black light. And she wanted glow-in-the-dark paint.
Well.
Which means she's either being artistic or she's smoking pot. So.
Now, if this was 1974, I would pretty much, well, let's see. How old is she now?
She's 16.
Okay, that was 1970. Oh, God, that was a long time ago for me. But I would have known which one it was then.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you never can tell.
You never know.
The kids like all that stuff either way.
But then again, the little one got a lava lamp, so that makes me wonder about the little one, too.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're safe on the little one. But anyway, so another unique episode of Radio Fishing here. Basically, I started to talk about top waters. We're going to go into that a little bit more. Some of the greatest all-time top waters. One Cale Hates that I love is the Smithwick Devil Horse. Now, you can get that in a 5M mirror lure, the double prop blades.
Right, right.
Devil Horse works because it's got a little propeller-like thing on the very front of the lure and the same thing on the back of the lure. And
a lot of noise. A lot of vibration.
Lots of noise. Lots of top surface stuff. And mirror lure has that same thing with the prop in front and back. And you give them little pulls, you can reel them, you can reel and stop. And they're great for catching fish because you get a better hookup ratio. For some reason or other, the Zara Spook, the mirror lure top dog, the top pups, the Zip and Ziggies, all these are copies of the Zara Spook, which is the ultimately hardest to use, hardest to work, most satisfying, best experience ever. Oh, wait a minute. Almost forgot. Hula poppers, pop-ars, and jitterbugs. Jitterbug, the ultimate freshwater topwater bait.
And Rapala's surface walker.
Oh, yeah. The skitter walk, the skitter pop, the skitter, all that stuff. But the Rapala stuff is absolutely extraordinary, too. That's probably the most common one on the flats.
And this is a good time of year, in my opinion, to work topwater. Yes, it can be challenging because of our winds. And I like that. I like a sheet of glass out there.
Find the lee side of an island, the lee side of something.
A lot less grass. A lot less grass out there floating on the surface in the tides. You can actually work it for more than 5 jerks and then have to bring it to the boat and pull all the grass off of it. So this is a great time of year to get out there. Plus, we're full of aggressive fish.
Trout, ladyfish.
The trout, the ladyfish, jacks, Spanish mackerel. Yeah, there's bluefish coming
mackerel.
In.
Yeah. Now, all these topwaters got different things about them. Mirror lure, the 7M, is a floating, and then you just give it a hard jerk, and it takes it under the water and brings it back to the top. Under the water, brings it back to the top. 7MR26, I've caught some of my biggest snook on that. And working them slow, keeping them popping, but today it's cloudy. And Sunday's supposed to get a little bit of clouds and rain and everything, and Sunday would be a great day to go out and use topwaters.
Definitely.
If you've never thrown a topwater, my choices would be the 7M mirror lure, let it float back up to the top. Slow, got to be patient, or the Smithwick Devil Horse. Those would be my two choices if you have not worked a topwater. What's your best advice?
I like the Bone SL Zaraspook. That's going to be my first and foremost out there for surface.
Rub your belly, pat your head.
Exactly.
Start it. Now, if you're right-handed, we need your right hand on top of your head, your left hand in your belly. Start, you know, patting your head, rubbing that belly, and that's the cadence to work in a Zaraspook. And if you can't pat your head and rub your belly in a circle, you're going to have a real hard time working a Zaraspook because that's exactly the moment.
Yeah, and like you, I like these overcast days.
Well, fish don't have eyelids. They exactly. can't squint yeah. into the sun.
Exactly. If you want to know what it's like, go hang a cheeseburger off your roof like a pinata and try and eat it in the sun. You can't see it.
You're not going to be able to see it. That sun's too bright.
You know, yeah. The fish are no different.
Tape your eyelids open.
Yeah, they don't have eyelids. They can't put on sunglasses, so it's easier for them on a cloudy
day. So what we're
going to
do is we're going to put a cheeseburger on a stick and a string, hang yep. it above your head, yep. tape your eyelids open so you can't squint, and then
try and eat it.
Try and eat it above your head on a sunny day. Yep. Exactly. That's perfect, Gail. So anyway... some great topwater action in the next few days, and the trout are just amazing. Number one thing you got to do, you're going to miss a lot of fish at first. You're really going to.
Absolutely.
You're going to miss them because they're not going to connect to the lure in...
50-50, I would say. If you don't catch that first fish, you're going to miss a few. If you catch that first fish, you're going to miss even more.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going, but yeah, you're right, because you get excited.
You get excited.
You got this.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this. I can do this.
You start working it too fast. You start twitching it too fast, reeling too fast, and you got to remember to slow yourself down.
And the big thing is, wait until you feel the weight of the fish. Believe it or not, humans are quick. I mean, really quick. When you see that splash, you're going to jerk that hook, yep. and you're going to pop it right out of his mouth. It's going to go bing, bing.
Sure.
It's going to go flying in the air. Hopefully, it doesn't fly at you. But slow
and
down.
And you're
wait.
Fishing for ladyfish, trout, snook, Spanish mackerel. All have soft, fragile mouths. So when...
Well, I'm going to take snook out of that soft and fragile part, but it's almost impossible until you miss a couple and say, okay, I was listening to those two idiots on the radio, and here they are talking about this. They said, what? Wait until you feel the pull of the fish. Wait till he's pulling on the lure until you set it, and then you'll hook him up. It's giving it that, literally, when I see the splash, it's almost 2 seconds later, which is forever before yeah. I actually start working on getting that fish.
And the one thing that I've done is I actually use a very, very loose drag.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I've found that really, really helps me. Now,
you can't jerk it out of his mouth.
Right. You can't jerk it out of his mouth. And I'm usually using a bait caster for my top waters.
Bait caster is by far the better one. A lot less line twist, a lot more workable usability.
Well, I can't do it with my right hand.
Ah.
I can't work.
So you're just defective.
Yeah, I'm defective. I can't work a topwater with my right hand.
I had the opposite problem.
So the bait caster goes in my left hand,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just fine. The benefit that it gives me, I don't have to set the hook.
Okay.
I wait that 2 seconds, thumb the spool.
Yeah, he just pulls and sets himself.
He sets himself. And then I've got that drag right at my fingertips. I can operate that drag while I'm reeling.
Now... me, I had the opposite problem. I threw bait casters from the time I was a little kid all the way up to an adult. Hurricane Charlie hit. We had all this stuff going on. The boats got wrecked. The child said, you know, everything's gone. You know, I finally get the boat fixed and everything. And it had been about a year and a half. And I went to use my topwater, you know, my standard bait caster, throw it with the right, put in your left, and reel it, work the lure. Couldn't do it. To this day, I cannot work a Zaraspook in my
left
hand.
That's weird.
And I had done it all my life. And so I actually switched to a bait caster. I reel with my left hand the same as I do with my spinning reels. And I can work that lure, do everything. And it really, in a lot of ways, it's better for me.
That's Florida. You know, we throw bait with a spinning reel and throw spinners with a bait caster.
Because my contention is if a bait caster had come out 10 years ago instead of 100 years ago, It would be called a lure caster. It is absolutely the worst reel in the world absolutely to throw bait with.
Yes.
I can take a spinning reel and cast a little tiny shrimp forever with it, with no effort, accurate, everything else. And with a bait caster, unless you've been doing it all your life and you're like this mega pro. Yeah.
It's hard. It's not impossible.
Hard, and I don't care how good they are. I can still outcast them on a spinning rod. But when I'm working a lure, you have so much more control. You don't have the slack between the lure and the tip. Everything's instantaneous.
You're not doing anything with a lure. You're just casting it. And you're not trying to skip it underneath mangroves or underneath
dots. Oh, I am.
Docks.
I'm sorry. The lures, that's my big thing, skipping them. I like skipping lures like the new Lick'em lure. I'm big on skipping that stuff.
But it goes on the spinning reel.
No, I actually like
the
bait caster.
I don't like doing it on the bait caster. I use the bait caster for me, for distance. I can throw a bait caster just as far as I can throw a spinning reel with a lure.
Right.
I also like it because I've got that control at my fingertips.
Oh, I agree. But I like them for skipping, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. Give me a spinning reel, and I'll skip it into your mouth.
Well, this
I can't do it with a bait caster.
This is the one thing that you guys, the benefit of this show versus other shows, is you get to see that it doesn't have to be done one way. There is no right, there is no wrong. It's what's right or wrong for you that matters. That's exactly... That's
you don't have six guys all saying, this is the way to do it.
Well, they're morons. If there's only one way to do it, he's a moron. Because,
like we've said before, this isn't bowling.
No.
you need more than one technique to fish out here.
Exactly.
You know, especially here. If all you're doing is pitching under dock somewhere, under lily pads somewhere, working that same bank over and over, you don't need a whole lot of techniques. But we have so many different changes in environment,
fresh
so many different
fishing.
Fish. Yeah.
Fresh water in the canals, fresh water in the spillways, fresh water in the ponds. Then you got salt water in the canals, salt water in the river, salt water in the middle of the harbor, salt water behind the bar, salt water on the bar, salt water in the deep water, in the passes.
Yeah.
So many different things. I love this area.
Yeah, it's great for fishing. I mean, this is a fishing paradise.
You know,
it really is.
But,
you know, you don't go to the golf course with just a 9-iron.
No.
You've got a bag full of clubs because every environment, every hole is different.
And that's exactly it. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and my partner in crime, Captain Kale. Ooh, music a little loud today. We got to get our producer to get on the stick here. But we're pretty much running out of time here. Just wanted to say thank you and wish you one last Merry Christmas. My daughter Amber, my son Frank, and my other daughter Heather. And Merry Christmas to you guys. Captain Kale, you want one last Merry Christmas?
No, I just wanted to say thank you to all of our customers who came in over the holidays and spent their hard-earned money here, who brought us the food, who gave us the Christmas wishes that they did. I've said it a million times, it doesn't matter what happens. Our customers are always humbling to us. They keep us in line.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And as I've said before, thank you all for my life. I really enjoy it, and you guys make it possible. Anyway, Fish and Frank, Captain Kale, we'll see you on the next Radio Fishin'.